Welcome to Reframe, the podcast where we challenge the status quo. I'm your host, Helen Darby Dowman, and I'll be joined by expert researchers from Nottingham Trent University. Whether you're a curious mind or a critical thinker, listen as we unpack common beliefs and offer fresh perspective on the headlines that shape our world. In this episode, we explore the complexities behind one of today's most popular sustainability trends, the plant-based diet. While many believe that ditching meat and dairy is the key to saving the planet, the reality is far more nuanced. Almond milk might seem like a sustainable choice, but it takes a staggering 6,000 litres of water to produce just 1 litre. Bananas, another plant-based staple, often travel over 5,000 miles before they reach our kitchens. And butter, surprisingly, has a heavier carbon footprint than beef, with up to 24 kilograms of CO2 emitted for every kilogram produced, according to the Carbon Trust. Today's guest is Professor Emily Burton, an expert in sustainable food production at Nottingham Trent University, and she challenges the idea that there's a one-size-fits-all solution to sustainable eating. Emily, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. I love this kind of thing.
Emily, many people believe through what they see on social media that adopting a plant-based diet is actually a way of saving the planet. What do you think about that?
If only one single approach would save the planet, it would be wonderful. Unfortunately, our food production and even human presence on the planet is just not as simple as that. And I think it's really quite unfair of people that have very, very strong agendas to try and wrap a lot of very selective evidence around an agenda that suits them. And I spend a lot of time having this kind of conversation to try and put a bit more detail around it about the pros and cons of different decisions, because it's not as simple as that. And that is simply not true. There are elements of it that are true, but as a statement, that's not true.
I know your research focuses on sustainable food production. How's it challenged a widespread belief that switching to plant-based or ethical alternatives is always better for the planet?
Thanks. Well, while plant-based diets are often promoted for their environmental benefits, my research and the impact of my research indicates that the sustainability of food systems is more complex and context-dependent than some of the arguments you see laid out in social media. While I do think a lot of people eat too much animal-derived food than is good for their own health or for planetary health, I don't think that plant-based diets are always an environmentally sound or healthy approach. It's simply not as black and white as that. So the way that translates into my research on animal nutrition as a tool for safe, sustainable food production is trying to emphasise the importance of considering the entire life cycle and supply chain of food products. So rather than advocating a wholesale shift over to plant-based alternative, I try to really support a more nuanced approach that includes the sustainability of animal agriculture through informed nutritional strategies. And for example, trying to use feed sources that don't compete with humans for crops that could directly become food, and trying to use animal nutrition to help us meet our net zero ambitions through waste reduction. So trying to find a role for animals as a nutrient upcyclers for things that we can't digest or that we don't want to eat as a waste product, and using that as part of our net zero strategy. I do really think a really important message that I want to make is that focusing only on carbon or any single environmental measure, it risks missing the wider picture, because food production affects so much more than the climate. It touches biodiversity, soil health, water security, but rural livelihoods and even cultural identity is impacted by our food choices. And we do hear a lot about some of the direct impacts of things like avocado farming with the deforestation and water production problems with almonds. But really, rather than fixating on which food is worst, I encourage people to align their choices with their values. So whether it's about local sourcing or animal welfare or environmental impact or fair trade or sustainable eating, it's not about purity, but it's about balance and reflection and personal responsibility.
So things like avocados, almond milk and Greek yogurt have always been praised as healthy and eco-friendly. Yet recent news stories indicate they come with serious environmental baggage. Which of these is the most surprising in terms of their impact and why?
I'm going to answer your question in a slightly different way. Each of these foods does indeed have a different environmental impact, but what I find really surprising is that it isn't one specific product that I want to put out there as something to avoid. I want to focus on how quickly public perception can shift based on a single metric like carbon dioxide emissions or water use. For example, butter is often demonized in health debates, yet in terms of greenhouse gas emissions, it's got a higher environmental impact than avocados or almond milk, which tend to draw concern over water use or land conversion. So the arguments can become really nuanced, and people often choose to focus on one aspect to suit their agenda. But it's really, there are so many different implications. It's difficult to make a perfect choice. There is no perfect choice. We impact on the environment by our food choices, and we have to accept that.
So there's, as you've just said, there's clearly no perfect solution. Even foods we assume are harmless, you know, like bananas, or as you were just talking about, almond milk, they use a lot of water to actually create the product. How can or how should people navigate these complex choices, though, when it comes to actually choosing what they eat?
I think we need to accept there's no perfect food. What I think matters is thoughtful consumption, buying what you need, valuing what you have, and reducing waste. Food waste is one of those few universally agreed sustainability concerns. It squanders land, water, labour, and emissions for no nutritional gain. And that's one area where every individual can make a tangible difference. So rather than fixating on which food is worst, I encourage people to align their choices with their values, whether that's local sourcing, animal welfare, fair trade, minimising environmental impact or waste. So sustainable eating, it's not about purity, but it's about a balance and reflection and personal responsibility.
What as consumers are we missing? Is there not enough information? Is it the wrong information? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I don't think there's a lack of information being shared. I think it's how it's being shared that's very problematic. I feel people are being asked to do the right thing as though there's only one right agenda. It's become very polarized, and it's not a helpful approach to food. It's not that people that are on a plant-based diet are good and people that aren't are bad, or vice versa. We don't need to make people feel that they have to conform to an agenda. The information needs to be made available in a more discursive way that truly helps people understand the impact of their decision making, because there's no doubt there is no perfect food. There is no food that has no impact, no negative impact on communities or people's incomes or animal welfare or the environment. Every single thing we consume has an impact, and we must accept that. But helping people to understand what all those different impacts are by laying that information out in an agendaless way, I think it really helps people explore things and discuss things rather than this entrenched conflict type of discussions like, I'm plant-based, aren't you? This very judging style, it's not helpful. It makes people feel defensive and refractory to other people's points of views or to information coming to them. And if we can move away from that, I think it'd be so much more helpful in letting people have those thoughtful conversations and helping them make their choices.
ideas like regenerative farming, fair trade sourcing, and buying local are often put forward as solutions. Would you say this is enough, though, to make a real difference? Or do we need to make a more radical or have a more radical rethink of how we produce and consume food?
I think all those approaches are absolutely part of the solution. And they're tangible, practical responses that can build resilience in the food system. And they can support more just economies, and they can restore damaged ecosystem. But the truth is, they can't do all the heavy lifting on their own. We do need a deeper, more systematic shift in how we value food culturally, economically, and politically. And I think that includes rethinking what we incentivize in agriculture and how we support the people who produce our food and what counts as efficiency or progress within the system. For example, regenerative farming's got a lot of promise, but it's not a plug-and-play solution. Once again, it's very context-dependent. It needs a lot of investment, knowledge sharing, and a real shift in farming philosophy. That's a massive change in thinking and culture, and it's coming very quickly without thinking space. People are still doing their day jobs. They're still putting food on our table and with very small margins. And yet now we're saying that's not enough. We want you to have the headspace to do it completely differently. Oh, but do carry on providing our food. And I think that's a big challenge. And it's the same with all these tools. I think they're there. They'll help, but we do need to ask harder questions, more political questions about what kind of food system do we want to build and who's going to benefit from it, and also who might get left out. What are the unintended consequences of our decision making? And I think that's beginning to come up. As an agricultural scientist, I sometimes hear the phrase lived experience now, and I think that's a really great way of bringing home to scientists and decision makers and politicians this idea of people's personal experiences are very granular, and it certainly helps me as a researcher think about the impact of my suggestions and my decision making. So I am cautious about radical change being used as an excuse for inaction in the present. I feel we can make meaningful difference and progress with the tools that we already have, but we do need this wider commitment to changing what the rules of the game are. This the system that we choose as our food system, I feel we need to rethink it into a much wider context of sustainability in its broadest sense. So I think we need policy, education, innovation and public engagement all pulling in the same direction.
So how do we get kind of moving towards that place?
Well, the nice thing is that I think food does connect us all, and it can be a real lever for societal transformation, not just in terms of the environmental impact, which is kind of what we're here to talk about today, but I think socially and economically it's got a massive role as well.
Emily, if you wanted to give our listeners one key takeaway when they're thinking about eating more sustainably, what would it be?
It would be, don't aim for perfection, aim for thoughtfulness. Be curious about where your food comes from and what that means. And don't let anyone weaponize food choices. We need to think and talk, not fight, if we're going to build a food system that works for people and the planet.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
If you'd like to find out more about Emily's work, please have a look in the episode description.
You've been listening to the Reframe podcast by Nottingham Trent University. For all the latest news from the research community at NTU, follow us on LinkedIn at NTU Research, or sign up to our research newsletter by visiting ntu.ac.uk/research.